thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. I'm here, my boy Will T. Ray Jeezy's. We waiting on Ray G. He's not in the building yet. We waiting on him. What's good, bro?
Nothing much, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. It's exciting time. You know, my man. You know, our dude's about to fight soon.
Yeah, Canelo fights this Saturday.
Yeah, aren't you excited?
Absolutely, absolutely. I haven't priced the fight yet, so I don't
what
know.
You haven't priced
charging.
Your fight. What's, oh, you haven't priced. Oh,
yeah, I haven't priced it yet.
So you're gonna.
Most likely, I may buy the fight, or I may try to, you know, go half with somebody.
Go half with somebody. Depends, but you're a good dude, man.
You just gonna bum rush it and just watch for free.
I'm gonna try. That's the goal, man.
Hey, man, it's nothing wrong with that, my brother.
It's a beautiful fight to see, man. It is the thing.
I wish we had a stronger undercard, but you know, it is what it is. The main event is definitely
fight of the year potential. I just hope it does just as good as, or well, no, as a fight, as a boxing fan, I hope it does better than Conor McGregor Mayweather.
It can only be better.
Right. Well, I'm talking about pay-per-view buys and whatnot.
Nah, I don't think it's going
to
do as well.
See, that's a travesty to the sport.
They haven't released the official numbers, but from what I hear, it's supposed to be somewhere from the McGregor-Mayweather fight, almost like $4 million.
$4 million?
They didn't surpass Mayweather-Pacquiao, but they did. They did a really good number.
Okay. Well, I hope it does. We're talking about two great boxers in the prime of their career. Well, you can Triple G's not in his 35, so yeah. But you know what I mean. But like, well, they're both fighting in a high level, so
yeah.
Anyway, Will T,
let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right, here are the topics for the pregame. The Redskins losing to the Eagles 30-17 at 8:20. We'll preview the Redskins Rams game at 8:30. We will make our week 2 NFL predictions and provide some fantasy football advice. At 8:40, we'll talk about the Nats clinching the NL East. And finally, we just talked about it a little bit. At 8:50, we will preview Saturday night's big boxing fight between Triple G and Canelo Alvarez. We'll give you our predictions and whatnot. But first, the Washington Redskins lost to the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday 30-17.
Before we get into that,
what's up?
I want to show the championship squad. The potential championship squad in Washington, D.C., some love. That's the Mystics.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about them, too. I do. Big ups to the Washington Mystics, man. And Will T, thank you for that. We got to give them some big love. This is a champion. This is a potential champion. And I think that folks in the DMV should really support that team because they have a good opportunity to take on a WNBA goal.
You know what's crazy is just, you know, football season started last Sunday, and it's like everybody just dropped everything else and said, football season's here, I'm watching football. No,
yeah.
We have two potentially championship teams in Washington, D.C. sports right now. You have the Washington Nationals, who are currently down to the Atlanta Braves 4-0 at the bottom of the third.
Mm-hmm.
This team is 3.5 as of today, 3.5 games back from the Dodgers for the best record in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the Washington Mystics, who are heading to the Eastern Conference WNBA semifinals.
Against a tough Minnesota Lynx team.
Absolutely. So I know football season's here, and a lot of people have been waiting and excited for this.
But
let's show some love to the other Washington D.C. sports team.
And to be honest with you, support consistency. And the Nationals have been consistent, and the Washington Mystics, won't say they've been consistent, but they really have a legit chance to win the WNBA championship. So most importantly, support them. All these teams. But like I mentioned, the Washington Redskins lost to the Philadelphia Eagles 30-17. What were your thoughts on the game?
I didn't get a chance to watch the game, but from everything I've read and the highlights that I've seen, Kirk Cousins wasn't a $24 million quarterback, or he wasn't even an upper echelon quarterback with his performance. You couldn't get the run game started. Carson Wentz showed everyone why he's on the potential come up to be one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and also that defensive line did what they did best. Philadelphia's defensive line, which I'm alluding to, applied pressure to Washington. They were in the backfield all day. But I will say this, from the things that I've gathered, I've read, like I told you, I didn't see the game. Mm-hmm. From what I hear, Washington's defensive line played pretty good, was able to get pressure on Carson Wentz.
It was improved. They did.
I mean, anything's improved
from last year, right? Yeah. So, to your point, yeah, like the defense is improved. You had the Jonathan Allen had some pressures. You saw Preston Smith had a sack. So I think defensively, we saw a team that hustled more to the ball and had more pressure to the quarterback. But again, like you mentioned about Kirk Cousins, he just didn't look like a guy that looked elite or borderline elite. What's up, Ray?
Hey, what's up? I don't want to beat up on Kirk Cousins, though. Obviously, he didn't play his best game, but the Redskins still had an opportunity to win. Mm-hmm. First of all, you can't miss sacks. I don't care how much the defense improves. That first touchdown pass was because the Redskins could not get Carson Wentz on the ground. Mm-hmm. So that's a big problem. Secondly, I just feel like the Eagles came out with more energy. Y'all remember the second quarter, or Wally, do you remember the second quarter when Michael Kendrick blasted Rob Kelly? You remember that?
Yeah, I thought about it.
Big hit. To me, that showed the level of energy and passion that Philly was playing with as opposed to the Redskins. I felt like that showed that the Eagles are saying, this is week one. We got something to prove. We want to put last year behind us. The Redskins just didn't seem to come out with that same energy, especially offensively. I think the DBs played great. I think they played with a lot of passion, uh-huh. and they made some big plays. Actually, the Eagles probably would have had more points on the board if it wasn't for the great play of the DBs. But the offense, I should specify in particular. I just felt like the energy just wasn't there. You could tell they're trying to adjust. Terrell Pryor, that first ball he missed, he took a lot of flack for that in the sun. But Kirk Cousins didn't throw him a good ball all day, if you ask me.
Speaking of Terrell Pryor, he actually had a comment about the game talk. He put the game on himself, basically saying that was his fault.
And that's got to be better. You know, I put this game on myself. You know, I definitely let my teammates down, but I'm going to hold my chin up high and work harder, you know, and that's all I can do. But, I don't like that. I don't like dropping. But, you know, again, you know, I start looking to run because I want to create a big play, and I don't really focus in, especially because it was a little behind. So I just got to focus more on it, and I put this one definitely on me.
Terrell, what happened on the first play of the game? It looked like you just couldn't see the ball.
I didn't even know it was thrown because I was running up the hash, so I was looking up this way, and all I heard was the crowd cheering, so I knew it was going deep. But I was like, where the hell is the ball? I couldn't see.
But yeah, like Ray said, Terrell Pryor dropped a lot of passes in the game. Well, dropped a number of passes. Don't say a lot.
He didn't get any accurate balls thrown his way. That's the thing.
No, the one he dropped on the goal. Well, not the goal line, but when the Redskins on their own 1 yard line, and Kirk Cousins had him up the middle, he dropped it. That was a flat out drop, and they needed that situation.
You attended the game, right?
Yeah, I was at the game. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he needed that. He needed that. They needed that catch at the time because they were down 19-14 at that time.
I predicted they would lose 23-17. I almost hit on my prediction too, but that's a whole other subject.
Yeah, exactly. I mean. You see how people try to pat themselves on the back when we analyze the game? You know what I mean? Like, I did pick the score.
Terrell Pryor been getting picked on by the media as well as Kirk Cousins, of course. But Josh Doctson, who was non-existent. Kirk,
he's been picked on too.
Coach Gruden was saying he's got to earn his playing time in practice.
I know. I don't get that either.
Coach Gruden is annoying after a loss.
I ain't get that. I like Coach.
Who's even more annoying after a loss?
What?
Fan base.
No, I think they're pretty accurate this time. No. They're more accurate now.
A winnable game at home. Compared to what it was. Against a team that you beat twice last year. You had them and you let it slide. And then you got a quarterback.
I think you have to assess this. Go ahead.
Here's why. I was listening to the radio, and I was also at the barbershop before I came here. Mm-hmm. And then the only thing I hear people say, oh, Sunday is a must-win. How is it a must-win?
We'll talk about that later, but I'll tell you why it's close enough to be a must-win. You see the games on the schedule? Everything dictates.
Every game is its own independent game.
Yeah, but you're playing teams that – all right. So when every you look on the schedule and anything, but we'll go into it later. But when you look on the schedule, I'm not going to say it's a must-win to that degree. But let's be honest. Like, you look on the schedule, right, and say – I'll give you an example. Say you,
I get what you, you're
trying
to say.
You're 0-2, and you're playing, say, the New England Patriots, and then you're playing the Seattle Seahawks. You're like, you need, before you're 0-1, before that second game, you're thinking to yourself, I got to win this game.
You know what you sound like? You sound like a fan that's conditioned to losing. That's what you sound like.
If you're this team,
okay,
like you gotta be real. Look who you are.
He's trying to take a shot.
I know, but
he's right to a degree.
Yeah.
I do think it's too early for must-win games. You don't want to fall in an 0-2 hole. Statistics show that usually teams that fall in 0-2 hole don't make the playoffs. Here's the thing though, when you do have confidence in the team that you root for, right? You are not concerned about the schedule. Uh-huh. Let's be real. So I understand why fans feel that way. But if you feel like this team has the capability with an improved defense to get to a Super Bowl, then I think the confidence level needs to increase. Because do I think the Redskins can beat Oakland teams like that or Denver? Sure. Denver, they look the most impressive.
They're playing Kansas City and Kansas City.
I'm just saying, but they played the whole AFC West this year, right?
Yeah.
That's why a lot of fans are concerned. Like, okay, we got the AFC West, which is one of the toughest divisions, which may be true.
Mm-hmm.
But the Redskins aren't that far off with one of the most prolific offenses in the league last season, right? But I'm just saying, you're bringing back the same quarterback. You're bringing back a similar system. Sean McVay, who you're going against this week, you know his system. So, and the Rams beat up the Colts, who obviously aren't the same team right now.
Yeah.
It's a winnable game.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that later. But at the same time, when you look at for the Washington Redskins, we can go off of preseason, right? We were talking about preseason and how people have been trying to say, and even to a certain extent, players, coaches have been saying preseason doesn't matter. Well, it matters when you show a trend of the same play. You played, and when Ray was talking about not looking physical against the Eagles, they did the same thing in preseason. We're talking about the offense slumping in this offensive slump in the preseason. Well, they brought that into the regular season against the Philadelphia Eagles. So they've been pretty consistent if you've been watching them on TV.
That's a coaching issue, if you ask me. You got to bring your guys ready to play. I know at this level, everybody should be motivated. And again, the DBs play motivated. It's just, the weaker positions on the team showed, like linebacker. It was clear. And who missed that first sack?
You talking about the bomb?
I'm sorry, not the first. Yeah, the bomb that on that
screen. Everybody missed it. Jonathan Allen missed the sack.
I feel like somebody missed.
Yeah, you're talking about. I know you're thinking of the one Mason Foster missed. Like he had him dead on. He missed him. Brown missed Carson Wentz on the blitz too.
Let's be real. You can join in on this with the rest of the fan base and all people who watch football. Your offense only put up 10 points. That's a problem.
It's a problem.
In the first game of the season with a quarterback who has something to prove. I know that injuries for some will play a role.
Does he have something to prove?
Huh?
Does he?
Who?
Does he have something to prove?
Yeah, he needs to prove that he's worth a long-term contract. Cousins.
Yeah, he does, definitely. Because everybody...
They didn't sign you to a long-term deal for a reason. Scott McLuhan said it in all of
And to be real with you, now the talk is, was he this good? Was the reason he was good because of Deshaun and Pierre?
I mean, I don't want to go down the whole...
Not a healthy Jordan Reed. Deshaun was definitely helpful.
Deshaun, put like this. That play that we're talking about prior, right? That first play he lost, whatever you say he lost in the sun. Deshaun Jackson comes down with that one. Because he's great with locating the bomb.
Yeah, I don't know if we should put Terrell Brown in.
But that, again, I know I'm saying that these are guys who helped Kirk Cousins out last year. Absolutely. You get my point? These are guys who were impactful for him.
Not anticipating an adjustment period. Sure. Now everybody's going to put the magnifying glass on preseason now. Preseason still, I don't think you show a lot. Look around the league. I don't think nobody was really banking on preseason as this big opportunity to show it what your team is made of. No. And we watched that on Hard Knocks. The Bucks didn't look the best, but we all expect them to be a good team based on the weapons they have, based on how they perform.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll say this.
So, and the Redskins did lose some weapons. But it comes down to Gruden. You know why? You lost your offensive coordinator, who was heavily criticized for third down calls, for red zone calls. Now, Jay Gruden is, in my opinion, assuming the bulk of the play calling duties. Let's see what you can do on offense.
I'll say this. Because of the lack of practice, I'm not going to say lack of practice time, but the lack of physical practice and training camp and the cutback on practice time, padded time for players. Defense is always going to be ahead of offense coming into the season.
Okay, you said defense will be
ahead
of offense.
Defense will always be ahead of offense. That's why I'm saying, Washington fans, you shouldn't just give it another week or two. And what did he have?
I'll say this. All my years,
he only played like what 44 snaps.
I'll say this. In terms of what you, if you watch, we've all watched football for a long time.
I mean,
time.
You look around.
We watch
the league.
This. You're right. But you watch, and depending on who you're playing too, like the teams that you're playing, like you're not playing the Minnesota Vikings defense. Like it's not like you're playing a certain team. The Eagles secondary, Darby went down. They were easy to get, they were real thin. So. And it's the same issue again. You had issues with a second string defense in the preseason when you were the first team offense. So you're showing issues offensively regardless. You're showing a pattern regardless of the fact we can say it was just preseason going to the first team game. The first game we have teams who look good and looked efficient. And it's not about putting up a lofty numbers in the preseason. It's about looking efficient, and they haven't looked efficient. That's the issue. That's the consistent part. Looking efficient. Kirk Cousins was not accurate in preseason. Wasn't accurate against the Eagles.
The running game was not
existent. Both things.
It's never been existent. It's never been.
No, existent. You're right. And it hasn't.
But since
never.
Jay Gruden's
what do you mean?
No. Well, no, I mean, since Jay Gruden, it had. Well, I'm not going to say never. It hasn't. There hasn't been a consistent running game since Jay Gruden.
Last season, they started off strong, and then they started to take off.
That's why I say consistent. Well, that's why I say
right,
consistent.
Good word. Sorry.
They haven't. Yeah, consistent is a good word. Because they don't try to. It's like they don't try. They don't stick with the run. I know that much. They don't stick with the run compared
Rob
to.
Kelly, he lacks like a burst.
I think he has. I thought he has more of a burst this year compared to last year.
I'm talking about just.
A straight line burst. Like, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about. Look.
No, he did just do that.
I know what you're talking about when you have a straight line burst. No,
Hey, go ahead, man.
That's a great word. Once he gets going, he's good. You know, like a downhill.
Yeah, runner. I'm with you.
I'm just saying, hitting that hole,
hole.
I just don't see it.
I like how you said they're hitting
that. Hitting the gap. I can't use a better term for you. You guys are terrible, man. My gosh.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ray. I'm fine. Go ahead, man. Go ahead, Ray.
But he's obviously slimmed down. Sometimes change isn't always good. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Right. That's what they say sometimes.
You're right, man.
Yes, that's true.
Any positives in the game, Ray?
The DBs, they came out, I think, as a core, including Kendall Fuller, excuse me, mm-hmm. they played an excellent game. And Breshad Breeland just looked like a good cover man. Yes. Now, I want to see him against maybe a better wide receiving core, but to me,
that's a good receiving core.
I said a better one. I'm just saying, but like, okay, the Giants with Odell Beckham.
Got you. Healthy. That's a good
or
test
maybe
for anybody.
The Cowboys. He's going to get his chance, but I think they look excellent. I don't like him returning kicks, by the way.
I don't think she ever do that. He should ever.
But you heard the presser. He said, "Oh, he's going to continue.
No, he needs to stop.
He'll figure it out.
He needs to stop. Like he should. They should not have him as a kickoff returner."
But the DBs play good. Josh Norman, you know he was going to bring it. I don't like Everett. I think he was for the first game. I feel like he was the weakest link on.
You didn't like Everett? I thought it was okay. To be honest with you, I thought Swearinger was the weakest one. Swearinger was getting beat by.
Swearinger played well.
He was getting beat by.
He played hard.
He played hard.
Both
teams played hard, but he was getting beat by what's his face? Tight end Zach Ertz. He was getting beat by.
Well,
Zach Ertz.
That's been the steady weakness of the team, right? Mm-hmm. Is that covering the tight end? But even that. I can't say that was improved.
That wasn't improved. But Ray mentioned the DBs, and actually Jay Gruden mentioned that was like the bright spot of the team.
It was.
Coach, on a positive note, can you talk about the play of Norman and Breland?
Guys played great. They've had a great training camp. Yeah, and got to keep going. Keep it going. We have a, you know, I said all along, these are the type of games we're going to have. You know, we got to protect the football. Two key turnovers, one in a scoring position, and one to give them a touchdown. You know. Comes down to those and then third down percentages. And then we were 0 for 2 in the red zone again. So if you look at the stats, usually you can tell your winner or loser from there.
Is it a matter of Wentz just keeping plays alive or is there something else going on?
I wouldn't really say we struggled so much. It was bad. I think it was 8 for 13. So you know, I feel like they got a little bit more than what we should have gave them. But, yeah, he eluded defenders on a couple plays. We had him back there sacked. He just made something happen, and that's what extended the drive. Those things are backbreakers. So you get an opportunity to get your paws on the quarterback. You got to bring them down because you take that in consideration. And we had our hands on them a good many times to where that touchdown, crying out loud, you make that happen. So you take those things and you take them off. It won't even be an 8 for 13, however, you know, completions they had on third down. And it's just something we got to get better at. Like I said, we're going to take away the positives, but also got to create these negatives that we got.
Yeah, I feel like this is the start of something great. You can see that we still coming together. It's a lot that we got to put together to get the chemistry going. But I feel like the people that we put out there today, for the most part, we show that we can be something special.
What you say?
No, I'm not going to say that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
The word greatness gets thrown around a little bit too much for me. It might have been the start of something great, but you know, you got to get pressure on the quarterback, and your linebackers have to be better.
Well, I think he's talking about more. I feel like he's talking about more of his job. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like out of everybody, they should, you know, have their heads held up the highest coming out of week one because they look so good. In my opinion,
you talking about secondary? Yeah, I think so too.
Especially in comparison to last year, I think it was encouraging for fans to see that. So that's the main thing: focus on and key on in the positives, I guess, moving forward. Because Will T is so upset that the fans are overreacting to a degree.
Well, I know Will T talking about.
Yeah, no,
I know he's talking about.
You hear people saying that it's a must-win, code red. No, it's the second week of the season.
It's the Redskins. That's why, like Wally said, historically they haven't been good, and you're looking for bright spots. You want to win in week two. You don't want to go down
0-2. I understand that, but this has been a team that has gone on 6 or 7 game win streak. So I'm not saying that that's something that you want, that they're capable of doing, but they've shown in the past that they can overcome a slow start.
Yeah,
so
different team,
just relax.
Different receiving core, which everybody's concerned about. Hopefully Jordan Reed will be healthier as the season progresses.
Hey, with more Redskins talk after the break, we're going to talk about how this team needs to bounce back. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Welcome back to Urban Sports Scene. Will T, Wally, and Ray in the building. Redskins Rams coming up this weekend. Is this a must-win game? That's what we've been discussing before the break. Let's hear your answers.
For me, I kind of think it is. I'm not going to lie. Just because you have the Raiders and the Chiefs up on deck, and this team hasn't shown you, because who this team is, this team isn't good enough to beat those two teams, in my opinion. And you finish this, if you start the season 0-4, knowing that you got the Cowboys team, knowing that you got the Giants team, knowing that you got, like, we mentioned Denver Broncos, who have a solid defense, season's pretty much over.
You got to compartmentalize. This is a one-week thing. The NFL is a one-week season. It's 16 one-week seasons, right? Mm-hmm. Anything can change from week to week in the NFL.
That is true. That
compartmentalize
is true.
It. Okay, you lost to the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So you go on the road, you go to L.A., you have the Rams. The Rams defense, even though it was against the Colts, looks like it's an improved defense. And I'm sure it is,
and
because
Donald's
Wade,
coming.
Yeah, because Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips is the defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
And then you also, on top of that, you have Aaron Donald, who's coming back off of
the monster coming.
Yeah, off of his,
his holdout.
His holdout. No, it's not a must-win, but this is a game that you would like to have, as you would like to have all 16 games.
So, question: if this team goes 0-4, what is that? Is that season's over, right?
No, I wouldn't say the season's over.
You wouldn't say it's over?
No, I wouldn't.
Sorry, I'm gonna say this way: with the talent this team has, they go 0-4. You don't think the season's over for this team? Because we're not talking about the Seattle Seahawks. We're not even talking about the Green Bay Packers. See, that's my thing. If it's those teams, I totally agree with
okay,
you.
Okay,
I got Aaron Rodgers, I know I have an opportunity to come back. If I have Drew Brees, and I'm not a big Drew Brees fan, I'm not, and Ray, you know this, I would feel more confident saying, you know, I would be okay and saying, you know what, there's an opportunity, there's a chance. Those dudes ain't leading this team.
Like I said, Owen, you're only a two-point or two-and-a-half-point underdog mm-hmm. on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing. I think this is a game that you can win. I think
here's the thing.
You can win.
I believe that the Raiders game at home is a winnable matchup.
I
know there's a concern about Kirk and
Raiders are
time.
Like that, man.
Huh? The Raiders are traveling from west to east.
Yeah,
on a Monday night, correct?
Right? Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Monday or Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a Sunday night game.
It's a Sunday night game.
Yeah, so they're traveling from west to east on a Sunday night game?
They got a Sunday night game.
That gives them more rest.
More rest, actually.
I'm
just saying.
Them traveling, I don't know how significant that is. But if you're at home, you got an improved DB core. Hopefully, by that game, the offense will they'll continue to grow their chemistry. I think you have a good opportunity to win a game against a really good team, one who right now with their quarterback play is being mentioned as someone that can contend for an AFC title. So you got to win your home games. You got to protect home turf. And then we don't know what the Chiefs are going to look like in week 2. I know they beat the Patriots, but let's see what they look like in week 2. Well, the Chiefs haven't been consistent either.
I'll say this. Andy Reid traditionally has done very well against Washington.
I know he has.
Yeah, so that's why I'm more likely to agree with you and say that the Raiders game is a winnable game.
Yeah, but I think
the Chiefs game, I don't think
and it's an arrow. And that's an arrowhead too.
We're talking about,
and
he's going against different teams, different coaches. When Andy Reid was ran out of Philly, Andy Reid, his team was horrible. So if we're going historically, Andy Reid was the coach of the Eagles for the longest time. The Redskins had a nice streak against the Eagles up until this game on Sunday.
Yeah, five games.
That's what I'm saying. So I think that's irrelevant.
But those weren't Andy Reid coached teams, though.
And what?
The five weren't.
It don't matter. And the teams that he beat weren't Gruden coached teams.
That's fair.
All fair.
Andy Reid, get him out of here. He hasn't even won a Super
Bowl. But I'm not, you're looking at Kansas City. You're going on the road against Kansas City.
No, Eric Berry now, who was a big part of that
still
game.
You still have pass rushers. Like,
still
you got Houston.
They still have plenty of pass rushers.
It's a different beast.
Somebody's got to cover Jordan Reed. Somebody's got to cover Pryor. Somebody's got to cover Dotson. I mean, you still have a potential to have a really good offense.
I do agree the Raiders game. To me, the Raiders game would be more winnable compared to, say, the Chiefs. And the Raiders game is more winnable. I can't see this team beating, say, both teams. I know that for a fact.
So we're looking at a potential 2-2 start if everything goes the way you want it to go.
All right. Hold on, we have a call. You're on with the Urban Sports Team. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? This is Games for Life.
What's going on, man? So real quick, what needs to improve with the for the Washington Redskins to beat the Rams?
Man, I think Gruden needs to open up that playbook and stop playing like it's preseason, man. If we look at history of the Redskins, man, they're a running game. They're a running team, and you need to give Rob Kelly more touches on the ball than the, I think he only had like maybe 12, maybe a dozen touches, and for the running game to be successful, you need 20 plus, And so he definitely needs to open up the running game. And, man, you already know how I feel about Kirk Cousins. But he needs to get in sync and in tune with his receiver. You can't overthrow a 6'4", 6'5" receiver by 4 feet. It's unacceptable.
Thank you. I would totally agree.
And you were talking about Rob Kelly. Rob Kelly had only 10 carries in the game against the Eagles. So, to your point, Jay Gruden isn't, gung-ho on, being patient with the running game. But you mentioned Kirk Cousins. How big is this game against the Rams for him? Does he, what kind of game does he have to have against the Rams?
Man, he has to have a perfect game, man. But you know what? I don't know if you've seen what I wrote. I feel, unfortunately, like we're going to lose this match because you got a young, hungry McVay who knows the ins and outs of Kirk Cousins. And, of course, he's going to give his secrets to his defensive coordinator. And as you see, I don't hate to say it. Kirk Cousins, if you put him under pressure, he turns into Rex Grossman.
Ooh.
Which is, y'all don't see it, but I do.
If you see
when he's under pressure, he closes his eyes, he slings the ball.
Off his back foot.
On his back foot. Hopefully one of our guys catches it. But what happened last game, he did the same thing in the red zone, and what happened? Interception. It's pitiful. But unfortunately, I don't think we may not get, and I even predicted it was going to be a 31-17 match, Eagles win. But I think it's going to be 28-20, Rams.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree for the simple fact that I feel like the Redskins still have, a strong receiving core. It's just a matter of adjustments for Kirk Cousins with, the change from last year.
I kind of disagree on that one because what do you define strong receiving core? You got sure we brought in Pryor, But, to give him the benefit of the doubt, he's only, his second year into being a wide receiver. But then again, you are a wide receiver. You need to catch the ball. Stop
having Well, you made a good point. He overthrew a tall receiver, which you can't do. And I like Crowder in the slot. And Jordan Reed, obviously one of the better tight ends in the league. I still think he has good options.
And Jordan Reed, I don't know what happened to him this past game. He had two holding penalties against that brought us back, that could potentially we could have led, by not committing those mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, Doxson is a bust. he reminds me of, who was the two rookies?
Malcolm Kelly and Devin Thomas.
Yeah, thank you. They had aspirations for these guys, and what happened? Injury prone. And they took a gamble on Doxson because they knew of his pre-existing condition. But here he is, I'm still waiting for him.
Yeah, I know we all are. But, hey, thanks for calling. Then we got to wrap up to the next segment. I appreciate you, my man.
All right, no problem.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right, man.
Skins for life. Yo, he just basically validated everything Will T said. He called Josh Doxson a bust already.
I know.
You know what I mean? He validated everything, the panic of the fan base. But I still disagree. It's week two.
I like Josh Doxson. I'm a Josh Doxson fan.
You had the Giants, where everybody thought the Giants were going to be like this juggernaut, and they came out and scored 3 points, and they didn't look as good as people thought. So it's too early to panic, basically, is what I'm saying. In the entire league, and in the NFC East. The Redskins weren't the worst team in the NFC East.
The worst team? No, not far.
The Giants were. In week one.
In week one.
Yeah.
Yeah, in NFC, the Giants were horrible offensively. Offensively, yeah.
Very fair.
Without
Very
Odell fair. Beckham, it just shows you. You know, injuries, start of the season.
I mean, even with Odell Beckham, they still aren't going to be able to run the ball.
So, give me a prediction for Sunday's game.
Kirk is short, by the way.
Oh.
Get on the butt.
I'm going with the Rams.
Yeah, Rams.
Yep. Rams 24-20.
Right.
No. Sorry, I gotta take the Rams too.
Me too. I gotta take the Rams.
I'll take the Rams 30-20.
And I'm gonna take the Rams, but I just hope the Redskins win. I just hope.
I'm serious. Last week you like my fandom. Makes me have to.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now he's like, forget this.
I got a good
league in the pick, so don't even worry.
I do have a good league, but still, I got to make sure it's better. Everybody, you want to make sure you have a good league.
He called Kirk Cousins Rex Grossman. Come on now.
He said when he gets scared, he's going to be Rex Grossman.
You know he's a shorter quarterback. Breeze throws the ball up too. He's just more accurate than Cousins.
He's more accurate. That's right.
But he just throws it up too.
He does, though. He's more accurate, though. It lands, though, dog. It lands.
Oh, got it. Cousins, you got to get a little taller, man.
All right, man. Anyway, we will make our week two NFL picks after the break.
Taller.
You listen to the Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Deuces. And go.
Call it how it is. Hendrix. Promise you, swag.
Young Metro, I don't trust you. I'm going to shoot you.
Yo. Percocet. Miley Percocet. Percocet. Miley Percocet. Represent. Gotta represent. Gang, gang. Chase a chick. Chase. Never chase a bitch. Don't chase no mask on.
Molly Perkins.
What?
Will T need that gold gym spray for the earphones because he won't put them on so he can listen to it. You need the paper towel thing, the motion sensor paper towel, bro. Oh, he got it on. That's what I'm talking about. Hey. Those drugs will kill you.
Oh, my God, man. You listen to the Urban Sports team, myself, Wally, Will T, Ray.
How we do last week on our picks? I didn't do too well.
I did well.
I picked all the wrong upsets. You picked the Chiefs to beat the Patriots. You know what? I got to give my hats off to you.
I hate the Patriots.
Hey, but it worked out for you.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to be honest with you. I threw the picks last
week. I feel you.
I was just like, you should
say, you should say that.
No, I was embarrassed.
That sound good. You should say that.
I was embarrassed that I picked the Colts. Even
I didn't get why y'all did that. Like the Colts, I didn't get why y'all bought.
Because I didn't think the Rams would. I still don't think the Rams are good, to be real.
It's the Colts. There's no Andrew Luck. It's like you saw them without Peyton Manning. They were ridiculous.
Without Peyton Manning.
Yeah, back in the day, without Peyton Manning, that team was terrible.
It's a different
just
team.
Just horrible. They were horrible.
But right, it's the Rams. It's the L.A. Rams. Well, I forgot Jeff Fisher is not the man no more. You know, Sean McVay did open that playbook.
He sure did, man. Jared Goff looked like a beast.
I could have got Gurley in
I got Gurley, though. I got Gurley. Real people do real things. I got Gurley.
Real people do real things. And by the way, Hong Kong Wong and whatever the football garbage time, they don't pick like we do. They don't take risks.
I'm about to... Off. You're right, though. They don't play like that.
They're going to do the same thing this year. We're going to have to find another rival.
Hey, like Ray mentioned, football garbage time. Make sure you check out their podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We will be, like Ray mentioned, we will be doing our Pick'em, NFL Pick'em challenge every week. So I'll name the
pick like Hong Koo Wong.
Will T, I'll name your... Go ahead, man. We'll see. I'll name your picks, you know, your record last week first.
Oh, I was 5-10.
Yeah, you're 5-10.
No shame in that.
That's cool. Make sure you say it again.
5-10.
Okay. Say it again.
Who's won it the last 2 years? Me. That's who.
What was your record?
This week?
What was your record?
9-6.
Okay.
What was your record? 6-9?
Yeah.
6-9.
You won good.
I know.
I'm trying to figure out how. I thought you won 10 games. That's why I asked.
No, I was close. I just wasn't good enough at that time. And in comparison, football garbage times, Joanne went 8-7. Ryan went 10-5. And Hakun Wong went 9-6. You guys need to get your game up, man. You're making me look bad.
Nah, they pick safe all the time.
You're making me look bad. Like, I'm going to be the only one over 500. Like, this is what we're doing right now?
I'm still about to do
it. Is this a pop
real
in the street?
Real people do real things. This is garbage anyway. This is garbage time. Because I was holes last year. But anyway, let's pick them.
You saw last year? I knew it. Why were you hoes, though? Tell me how you really feel, homie.
I said it last week. In the live stream was
yesterday. All right, man. First game of week 2. Texans versus the Bengals.
Give me the Bengals.
This could be, you know, this is probably Watson's first game.
Give me the Bengals.
The Bengals, you sure?
Give me
the Texans. Real dudes do real things. The Texans.
I got the Texans defense in fantasy. Well, I want them to do well, but I'm going to take Cincy.
All right. Browns versus Ravens in Baltimore.
Give me the Ravens.
Give me the Ravens.
Ravens.
I don't know why I can't.
I picked the Ravens last week. That was great.
Yeah, that was a good pick. That was one of your 6 picks.
6 wins.
Yeah, you're right. Bears versus the Buccaneers.
Give me the Buccaneers. You see how I go first, and then I allow you to pick off mine. And
give me the Bucks.
I'll take the Bucks.
No way, I'm not going to look at you anymore, Will T. Vikings versus Steelers, right?
I'm going to go first.
I say Ray.
I'm going to go first anyway.
Huh?
I'm going to go first anyway.
Oh, you're going to ruin it? You're going to ruin it? Go ahead.
Give me the Vikings.
Damn. I was going to do that too.
Me too, man.
It's not like you can't still pick them. You can still pick the Vikings.
I'll take the Steelers. A rejuvenated Le'Veon Bell all day.
I'm going to go to Vikings. My man Sam Bradford's back. Patriots versus Saints.
Give me the Patriots.
Patriots.
Give me the Saints.
Wow.
Eagles versus Chiefs.
Oh. Hey. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Where's the game?
Kansas City.
Kansas City. Give me the Chiefs.
Give me Chiefs.
I'll take Philly just as an upset.
I feel you. Titans versus Jaguars in Jacksonville.
Give me the Titans.
Give me the Jaguars.
Give me the Jaguars.
Cardinals versus Colts in Indy.
Give me the Cardinals.
Give me the Cardinals.
I'll take the Colts.
Again?
T.Y. Hilton, baby. I don't care.
He's a famous football player.
Real people do real things, Dak, on it. If I have like a 5-10 week next week or something, then yeah, I'll start to.
I feel you. Bills versus Panthers in Carolina, at Carolina.
It's a tough one. I'm going to go with the Panthers.
The Panthers are not tough. It's easy.
I'll take the Panthers. I was going to pick Buffalo, bro.
Yeah, I was going to pick Buffalo, too.
Couldn't squeeze it out.
It's okay.
Just couldn't do it.
Jets versus the Raiders in Oakland. Not Vegas, Oakland.
Give me the Raiders.
I'll take the Raiders. I can't pick the Jets no more. I tried.
Give me the Raiders, too. Dolphins versus Chargers in L.A.
This is going to be a good
game. L.A., big city.
I'm going to go with...
To live and die in LA.
I'm gonna go with the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
So am I.
This is Cutler versus Rivers. They always had like big battles. Yeah, I'm going with the Chargers, though. Phillip Rivers, he's going to be my starter that week. Fantasy football. I killed you, Jew. I did that. Niners versus Seattle.
Oh, give me the Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Seahawks. Cowboys versus the Broncos in Denver.
I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm going to Broncos.
Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
I got the Cowboys. I'm not a believer in Simeon. That dude is garbage.
Simeon, you know, I watched that game last night.
He
has a lot of Kirk Cousins in him.
Does he?
Oh, is that a good thing?
I'm about to ask the same thing.
If everything is going right around, he's good. Yeah, I agree. He looks phenomenal.
That dude, Ezekiel Elliott, is the man right now. I think he is the best running back in the league. And the Giants were trying to hurt him, if y'all didn't pay attention. They even bent his leg back one time. He just got up and he did it, you know, feed me.
That was annoying.
Man.
I hate that.
I'm loving Zeke these days.
I dislike Zeke these days. Yeah, he's
How can you be mad at Zeke?
I'm a Michigan fan. He played for the Dallas Cowboys. Self-explanatory.
You take football way too serious.
I take everything serious. It's like sports more than anything, though. Who did I pick? I picked the Broncos. I'm going to pick no Cowboys. For Falcons. Oh, this is a good game right here.
This is going to be a good
one. Now, this is a good one.
Is this the Sunday night game?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Now, it's
y'all know who I'm going
to take. In Atlanta.
Go ahead, take the Packers like you always do.
Pick the Packers. Go ahead, do it.
You barely give me this person. That's what you say every show. And they went all the way to the Super Bowl. And they had it. 28-3, they choked. And then he gonna text me after he woke up. Like, oh, what happened? Come on, man. Get out of here. You a fraud. You can pick the Packers and let's move on. Why are you thinking about it? If you don't like the Falcons, don't think
I'm going with the Falcons. Scratch that. Give me the Packers.
Thank you.
Give me the Packers.
Give me the Falcons. Lions versus Giants in New York.
I like this Lions team. Me too. Give me the Lions.
I like Stafford. Give me the Lions.
Give me the G-Men.
You are going like really. Like you
dude, real people do real things. I don't just talk it. I live it.
You live it, right, man?
You know what I mean?
I feel you, man. Anyway, it's time for a break, man.
The Falcons defense at home going to be flying. The Mercedes-Benz Stadium? What? Are you crazy?
Oh, man. ATL, shawty. A-Town down. The Nationals are, once again, NL East champs. We'll talk about that after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces. I got loyalty. Got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece. Got war and peace inside my... I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, and sworn like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine, and it's like a bird. You see fireworks, they Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Background don't exist, burn on side. Jellyfish, I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Like Bizu probably offend you. This is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, furnace, boosters, burgers, ballers.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray, all in the building.
Yeah. Soldier.
Oh, now you want to freestyle it? Now you want to rap it? You didn't want to rap the other joint?
Sure didn't.
All right, the Washington Nationals have clinched the NL East division. This is the fourth time in 6 years. Now, talk about the accomplishment, man.
Washington Nationals are the present and the future of DC sports. Just the way this organization is built. No, look at it. This team is set up for sustainable success.
They're very consistent.
For at least the next five to next 5 years.
You're right, but you're the king of this.
How am I sending a subliminal shot?
At the Redskins. Because you know the Redskins, they've been running this town since.
They're going to always. It's football. Football runs but I get what you're saying, though.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying that this team is set up for sustainable success over the next five years.
And he's coming at you, too, by the way. You know
how?
Some earlier shows where you said the Dodgers weren't capable.
Oh, he's, you know, that was earlier. That's within that text he got. Man, we're gonna get to that.
The Nats are currently 3.5 behind the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers have lost, 16 out of the last 11, 17?
11 straight.
Yeah. 11 straight, the last 16 out of 17, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. This is a championship team. This is a team that, you know, me and Ray, we started the bandwagon. We asked you and Al, did you want to jump on?
No, Al doesn't watch baseball, so you didn't ask him at all.
He was there on the 300 episode. That's what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
We asked both of you guys if you wanted to jump on the bandwagon. You declined.
Yeah, I declined.
Now, me and Ray, we headed, you know, we're going to see where this thing takes us. Maybe it takes us to the best record in Major League Baseball.
That would be great, man. I'd be excited for the Nationals to have
to show you how well the Nats are doing. Look at the Cleveland Indians winning streak.
It's crazy.
And they still don't have the same record as well. And they still like a game behind the Nats.
No, they're
the same record. What shows the Nationals are doing their thing. 20 games ahead of the next team.
You're right. You actually are right.
That's what I'm saying. I know I'm right.
This team,
85% correct most of the time.
This team has been Think about it. Think about the two hottest teams during the season, the Cleveland Indians and the Dodgers, right? Mm-hmm. This team, the Nationals teams, has been consistent throughout. Exactly.
That's valid.
Just been consistent throughout, even without all the, even through all the injuries, you know, even through the injuries and the terrible bullpen.
Yeah. And still here.
They still here.
That's why I said when I said it on the 300 episode, I said this is going to be a World Series team, and I asked did you want to get on the bandwagon, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So guess what? No room for
the
you now, buddy.
The only thing I don't like about the Nationals, they rejected my press pass. But other than that,
they rejected your press pass.
Yes, and they sent me a racist style email. Like, we had the right to reserve and deny and all this.
But they sent you saw the reply. You got a reply.
I got a direct email from the Nationals. But you know what? I support the franchise. Still understand.
Do you want to highlight some of the highlights of what they said?
No.
Now,
well, you're trying to favor this is the organization. You can't carry your own organization, will you? Damn. No,
listen, they can't carry this organization.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
Loyalty is not our DNA.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you know,
that was a vicious play on it.
We're going to be loyalist fans. We still root for the Nationals. We are blessed to have a baseball team in D.C. and best pitching staff in the majors, in my opinion.
They rated third.
Daniel Murphy.
They're third.
Anthony Rendon.
Brian Zimmerman.
I'm just telling you, the lineup is real. Without Bryce, the lineup is real.
All right, that's a good point. So you just mentioned something without Bryce. Say when Bryce gets healthy, we all expect it. Well, we can't expect it, but if he is healthy, what do you do with left field? Like, do you play Howie Kendrick or do you go with Jason Worth?
Who? I think
Howie Kendrick.
You got to go with Howie Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
I would go with Howie Kendrick. Or I would maybe start Jason Worth. Play him in the first half of a game. That's me. That's my
You're fine. Go ahead.
And then I would replace him with Howie Kendricks in the latter half of the game.
You go that route? Even if, you know, we're talking about postseason. You know, it's the postseason. You got to play your best guys. You can't take a chance of just playing a guy because, you know, loyalty or he's a leader.
No,
in the
I understand
Howie
that.
Kendrick has been pretty – he's been on fire and consistency has been an ass.
He's been on fire, but let's be honest. Jason Worth is the Net. I'm not going to say he is the Nets franchise. Brian Zimmerman has been a lifetime.
That's the guy.
I think if we go through the annals of the Nets history, you'll see Brian Zimmerman first and then Jason Worth. Jason Worth has been he was the impact free agent, the first impact free agent to have a sign here and kind of start to get this thing going down the right path. So, do you owe him a bit of loyalty and you start him if he's 100% healthy? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if he begins to struggle, you always have Howie Kendricks.
It's what have you done for me lately? You know what I mean? That's where I'm at. And if you want to win and you want to change the playoff makeup of this team, then to me you got to make some bold moves. Dusty Baker to me is the person to do it. He has no loyalty to Jason Worth.
Shouldn't.
Maybe Rizzo does or the Learners.
I mean, you want to make a bold move. Put Anthony Rendon in the number two spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's something that I'm sure maybe Rizzo would like to do. I don't think that's something that Dusty Baker.
No, I'm pretty sure Dusty Baker doesn't want to do that. But if you had Trey Turner,
I agree. I think Rendon is the
Bryce Harper.
Rendon is the typical two man because he can go either way. He has opposite field power. He's a guy who makes solid contact, so you can do hit and run with him. Man. He's an awesome. He'd be an awesome threat.
This playoffs is ripe for the pickings. There's no Giants. There's no Cardinals. It's time, daggone it. It's time for the Nats to get a title. Time for DC to get a title. That, you know what? If the Nationals win the World Series, I could care less about the Wizards season.
Really?
Even though we don't think the Wizards can win a championship, the fact that this area just needs one.
I'll do you one better. We know the Wizards can't win a championship now.
Okay, sure.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. Now, yeah, we definitely
know. Yeah, right now. We know the Wizards
this
can't win a championship.
Upcoming, this season upcoming, we're not going to win a championship. So, the Nationals... That's where we're banging off. The race is going to be 0-4, according to Wally. So,
yeah,
no, you know, we might as well put our hopes in the Nationals.
Hey, real people say real things.
Terrible. The season's over already.
Sometimes you just got to keep it 100. Like, you know, things are happening right now. Again, the Nationals. All right, so well, you mentioned like the Jason Worth thing. Like, you would play Jason Worth. The dude's only hitting 240. You play guys hitting 240?
Jason Worth has not been
over a guy who's hitting 320.
Jason Worth has not been worth this contract. I understand where you're coming from. I said I would start. Well, let me be clear. I would start the series with Jason Worth
out there.
But because this is the thing, Howie Kendricks can come off the bench and provide you with a clutch hit if needed. Jason Worth, towards later, say you need a pinch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Worth, I can't rely on Jason Worth as a pinch hitter.
So say, because you know it should be dictated by your competition, right? So say you're playing the Arizona Diamondbacks, who also is one of the hottest teams in baseball. Do you take a chance of playing, say your second best lineup over your best lineup? You know what I mean? Because having Howie Kendrick, because not like Howie Kendrick's a lefty. Jason Worth, they're like, one's a lefty and one's a righty. So you can platoon
but this
them.
Is the
Both
thing.
Are right-handed hitters and one is hitting better.
But this is the thing about Jason Worth. Jason Worth takes a lot of pitches.
Yes, he does. He
fouls off a lot of pitches. Yeah. So with Jason Worth in a lineup.
He's a beanball type of dude.
Huh?
He's a money ball type of dude.
Yes, he's a guy that will put additional stress on your pitcher. Mm-hmm. Make him go into a 10 pitch count, seven or 10 pitch count. That's why I say you start off with Jason Worth. Then if Jason Worth struggles, mm-hmm. you can always go to Howie Kendricks off the bench. That's just in my opinion.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. Championship, baby.
Yeah, but yeah. The
Nats
focus
are gonna win the World Series this year.
Yeah, I already said that the Nats are winning the World Series.
The Nats are gonna win the World Series. Right,
when it happens,
we gonna play this back.
That's what's up, man. Anyway, Fight of the Year, it's going down Saturday.
Fight of the Year candidate.
I'm gonna call it. Hey, my mom told me you claim it.
Claim it.
I claim it. Fight of the Year. We'll talk about it after the break. Listen to Urban Sports thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man.
Alright, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. Saturday night, Triple G will defend his unified middleweight title against Canelo Alvarez. Could this be Fight of the Year?
It has the potential to be. It's going to be a lot of offensive fireworks. Canelo is a very good body puncher. Triple G is a very good body. It's just a strong puncher in general. I think he has, an 83% or 89% knockout rate. Canelo is, to me, he's the guy, the pay-per-view draw in boxing, disincluding Floyd Mayweather, of course, because he isn't actively fighting anymore. But I think this has a potential. It's going to be a big fight. I'm excited for it. This is a fight that I actually, unless if I can't find anyone else who's going to buy it, I actually plan on buying this fight myself.
Oh, you're a good person. You're a very good person.
This is a good fight, but I just feel like looking at Canelo's career, I think his power is going to be just too overwhelming for a Triple G, man. I think about the Kirkland fight. James Kirkland, how Canelo knocked that dude knocked him out to where he didn't even remember what happened the next day. Canelo is that powerful. Canelo is the draw. Outside of Terrence Crawford and Lamont Peterson, who's a local, obviously, who I saw at Turner Natural recently, by the way, Will. I just feel like...
Oh, you did?
I did.
You saw him what?
At Turner Natural. It's a little restaurant anyway. I just feel like Canelo is that guy, man. I think he's one of the top fighters in the game right now.
What kind of fight do you expect to see?
A slugfest?
You see a slugfest? Is that what you think?
No, I don't think it's going to be a slugfest per se. I think if this fight goes past seven, then it has the potential to be a slugfest. I think in the first three rounds, you're not going to see a lot of engagement, a lot of action. I think you're going to see both of these guys try to fill each other out, test each other's power, establish range. More often than not, you'll see Canelo coming forward a bit more and being a bit more aggressive than we see him in previous fights. Triple G will not be on the defensive, but he'll look to counter a little bit more.
Do you think
he'll look to find his spots a little bit more than previous fights?
So do you think, I mean, because Triple G is undefeated, but do you think that Canelo, you know, saw something when Triple G fought like a Kell Brook? And on the flip side, can Triple G use anything that Canelo, that Canelo did wrong against Mayweather?
What I'll say is this. Ever since the Mayweather loss by Canelo, he's not the same fighter.
Okay.
He's a bit more strategic. Doesn't come forward, uses angles a little bit better, and uses combinations a little bit better, in my opinion. These are things that are my opinion. And also goes to the body a bit more. Triple G, what I think Canelo will do, I think Canelo will try to use the Danny Jacobs blueprint.
Okay.
Which is jab and then try to go to the body with a right hook. So left jab, try to go to the Triple G's body. But I think Triple G is going to be a bit more apprehensive in the beginning of the fight to really engage and get in close to fight on the inside. Just my opinion.
No, and who do you think wins the fight?
Oh, I got Canelo.
Yeah, Canelo.
This fight.
What you got, Ray?
Canelo.
I got Canelo as well. On Facebook, my man Michael says, you know, he has this fight like Hagler Hearns repeat. He says Triple G in three rounds of action.
Triple G knocking him out in
three rounds of action.
Wow. I mean, that's very ambitious, but, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion.
I know. I don't see in three rounds. I do think I actually think it's going to be a high-action fight, but I don't think it's Triple G. I don't think Triple G is knocking out Canelo in three. I think Canelo's chin is tough enough, and he's a guy that, you know, is, you know, he's going to walk you down. I'm excited about this fight. I think you have a guy that in Canelo that's in his prime. And I think between the two, Canelo's more of the more versatile boxer. You agree with that, Will T? Between the two,
I think boxing skill, both of them are pretty equal.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Canelo at this point right now is a little bit better of a defensive fight. Is a better defensive fighter than Triple G. He isn't as willing to take as many big shots as Triple G has, particularly Triple G coming off of his fight against, excuse me, Danny Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that people are overlooking in this fight is the caliber of competition that Canelo has had in the past. I think that's going to really be something that's going to really help him in this fight.
All right, we have a caller with the Urban Sports thing. Hello, who's speaking?
You know why I'm here.
My man, AJ, what's going on? AJ, hey, tell me about, real quick, we're about to end the show off, but tell me who you have winning this fight and why. Triple G, Canelo.
You know what? The fight is a lot closer than I initially thought. I originally had Triple G in the wash. Believe it or not, I'm actually kind of rolling with Canelo now.
Okay, so why? So why do you have Canelo winning? Is it because the age or is it skill or what?
I actually think Canelo's not, like, everyone's been talking about they've been expecting basically a firefight. I think Canelo learned from losing to Floyd. He said that's not the way you prolong your career. He knows who to go after and who doesn't. I actually spoke to a friend of mine I grew up with in Philly who fought Triple G. So y'all know about, who fought Triple G, and he actually said that Triple G was the hardest puncher he ever faced. That was Gabriel Rosado who said that.
Mm.
And one of the things that I will look at now is I think it's just Triple G has been in that come behind the hard, a high guard and go face first style for so long. I just think Canelo has basically watched it long enough. He's going to pack on the muscle. He's probably going to come to the fight weighing about 180, 185 after the weigh-in. And he's not going to sit there and throw exchanges. He'll pick his shots like he does. He'll do that lead jab to the body, try to hit him with the okey-doke, come up top with the right hand, and try to score as much points as he can.
Hey, AJ, we got Canelo. All of us pick Canelo. You should have called early, though. During the Eagles Redskins discussion. Just joking with you, bro. Good to hear from you.
Oh, don't.
We can't even. I ain't got nothing negative to say.
I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not talking to AJ right now, man. I ain't going to talk to you, AJ. I ain't doing that. AJ, man, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate
AJ,
you.
Y'all good, brother.
All right, take care, man.
Keep doing it.
My man, AJ. Big boxing fan.
Last question.
What's up?
How much? I don't even know how much the fight is. Do you know how much it is, Ray?
Pay-per-view?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you willing to pay the full price for it?
I'm not. No.
You're not?
No.
Wally, are you? Is this a fight that you would pay the full price
no,
for?
No. What I? You said, would I pay for it?
Yes.
Or am I going to pay for it?
Is this a fight that you are...
It's not like Mayweather-McGregor. I would never pay for
question.
That.
No,
I would never pay for
anything.
That.
Just moving on.
Look, man. I'm on my ghost move. Sometimes you just can't say what you're going to do. You just got to like keep doing the love.
I get it.
You know what I mean? But anyway, it's time to wrap this show up. It was a pleasure doing the show with you all. Appreciate y'all. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Lane.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie.